Been going through Mark. I took a break. I think last week I preached out of Mark, didn't I? I can't remember. Yeah, because I preached on pride, and then I raced my son and about tore my hamstring in half because of pride right after it. Lord, I think it's interesting that where we're going today in Matthew, it is connected to or strongly correlates with where we were last week. Different topic, but same setting, same mindset of the disciples. I don't always preach themes with the seasons and with the times, but I do when I feel led to, and today I do. I think I've preached, I don't know, some of y'all that write in your Bibles when the preacher preaches, I know some of you do, you might can tell me, I think I've taught out of Matthew 20, verse 20 through 28 at some point over the last 12 years here. Does it say when? Okay. Well, I want to go to this passage, and I guess this will be about the third time I've been there. I knew I had before at some point. I don't keep my own outlines because I don't even want to go back to. I want to preach it anew and afresh every time I go to the text. I want to hear from the Lord, and so that's what I've did. I want to go to verse 20 through 28, and I do want to preach. I guess, if you will, it would be in line with the Mother's Day sermon, if you will, or whatever. But it's going to be certainly deeper than that. And I know that this word today, it's not just to commend godly mothers. It's to challenge all mothers. And even further than that, it's to challenge each and every one of us today. Every one of us will be stretched by what we find here today. And so I want to read these eight verses, and then I want to share with you just some things the Lord has shown me. Let's begin in verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of by my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, last week we were in Mark. We looked at, again, the disciples arguing over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They had that discussion, and Jesus set them straight. We looked at it from Mark. Now we have a more detailed account of a conversation that is very similar. Same topic, same idea, same mindset of the disciples, except this time we have a mother involved. Now, I want to defend her just for a minute, if you will. Sometimes James and John's mother gets a bad rap because it seems as if she comes to Jesus with this bold audacity to ask such a thing that many is perceived to be centered in pride and greed. I'm not so sure that is the case. I'm not so sure it is. And so I want to look at her interaction with Christ in the text. And I want to bring some things out, I think, that's going to show us otherwise. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to find that this mother is a woman of faith. And what I want to do is I want to look at a woman of faith. Now, it don't say anywhere in here that she has faith, but if you know what faith is and you understand it, then you can recognize it, right? I mean, because after all, can't nobody see my faith. They can just see how my faith is expressed. Faith is not something that you just see, but you can see faiths when I operate in faith, that you can see how my actions are and how my attitude is and how my relationship with God and people are. So I think even though the word faith is not mentioned, we see her faith. And I want to defend her because she gets a bad rap. And if you know anything about boys, if one thing you don't do is you don't talk about their mama, right? Right? That's what you don't do with boys. You don't talk about, you talk about me and everything else. Don't just leave my mama out of it, you know? And so I'm going to defend her because that's what sons do. We defend our mothers. But more so than that, I want to glorify the Lord. And I want us to hear some things that God is showing us in the text, okay? So I don't believe that she is driven by pride and greed and nothing like that, about power hungry. I believe she's a woman of faith, and I'm going to show you that, and I'm going to show you that quite well, I believe, here in the next few minutes. I have an outline that I want to give you. I got two again. I don't know what's been happening lately, coming in with two or three outlines, but let me give you this one. I want to show you this mama's faith through her pursuit, her praise, her purpose, her prayer, the promise, persistence, and peace. And I want to show you that, and that's the first outline, then we'll look at the second one. But I'm going to try to go through it pretty quick, but I want you to see what is in the text here. So as we get in, we know what happens here, that you got Jesus, you got the disciples, and here comes two of the disciples' mother. They come to Jesus, and she has a question to ask him. She wants her sons to sit on the right and left of his throne, to sit right next to him in the kingdom. That's what she asked, to sit right next to him in the kingdom. Now, we know that when she asked this, Jesus, he responds back, and the disciples, they get all upset at the boys of the mother, and it gets real competitive about who's going to sit closest and who's going to have the most power, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And so there is a lot of carnal thinking here, but I want you to understand with this mother's action, there's a lot of underlying faith that is working in the text. Number one, I just want to show you that this mama, she had faith, and we see it because of her pursuit. And you see it right out the gate in verse number 20. It says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, the Greek word came means to approach him, to draw near. The first thing we see right here is a mother, and these are not two little bitty boys, but she's bringing her grown boys, and she comes to Jesus. She draws close to him. She approaches him, and right out the gate, can I just lay this out there, and let's all agree on this one thing, that one thing faith will do, it'll cause you to draw near to Jesus, right? Look, we got the promise that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. So all we got to do is draw near to him. Now, you don't draw near to God by your wisdom, and you don't draw near to God by your passions or your affection. We draw near to God by faith. If you're going to approach God, the only way you're going to approach him is by faith. Somebody say amen. She goes to Jesus. She could have went anywhere. She could have went here or there. She went to Jesus. Matter of fact, for her to go to him, it would not be welcomed by a lot that would have been watching or spectating or near. For a woman to go into the presence of this rabbi and his disciples, and she busts up in there, and she's got this question that is filled with audacity. Who would ask such a thing? I'll tell you who, a mama of faith. She draws near. She draws near. Now, let me tell you something. If any of y'all had a godly mama, a mama that was filled with faith, one thing you know about her, you probably witnessed her and watched her pray. press into God and draw near to God, because that's what mothers of faith do. They draw near. I want to encourage the young mothers in this room, and I know some's in the back, that a godly mother by faith will always draw near to God. And I am thankful that God give me a mama that I got to watch draw near to God. And what I learned as she drew near to God, she carried me with her. Somebody say amen. Anybody in this room have a mama that would press into God and draw near, but she didn't leave you on the outside. She took you with her. Even when you didn't want to go, even when you got mad, she still took you with her when she drew near to God. I think a lot of times on a Sunday evening, I didn't want to go to church. And I'd get mad at Mama because I wanted to... Herschel, I told a story early on here that I can remember. The Incredible Hulk would come on Sunday evenings, and I remember one time it come on. I wanted to watch it so bad. And I didn't understand why I couldn't have just stayed home one Sunday evening, Sister Darlene, and watched this. But Mama said, nope, we're going to church. Now, Herschel ended up going and buying me all them Hulk movies later on in life. But you know what? At the time, I was so upset. But I thank God that I had a mother that knew what it meant to draw near, and she carried us with her. Somebody say amen. This woman had faith. I don't care what you say. She had faith. She draws near and brings these two grown. Do you know what would happen if my wife went on behalf of Briley at his age, in front of the football team, to the football coach, or in front of anywhere at his age? Why, it would humiliate him. Right? And I'm sure it might have these two, but she didn't care. She was going to draw near, and they was going with her. Tells you right out the gate, this mother, she approached Christ, and she brought her two sons with her. So, number one, a woman of faith, a mama of faith, will pursue the Lord. She's going to draw near. And let me just say this today. If you have faith, whether you're a mama or a son or a daddy, I don't care who you are or what you are, I want you to hear this right here. Faith will cause you to press in and draw near. And if you look back in your life over the course of the last week or month or year or years, and you do not see a pattern of you drawing near to God and pressing in, then I'm going to say to you today, the problem is you ain't got faith. Because faith will cause you to draw near. It's the only way you can, and if you got it, you will. Amen? And if we're going to be a church, the bride of Christ, that's going to raise up a generation, then we're going to have to be a church, a bride that draws, oh God, that draws near to His presence and takes these kids with us. Amen? That's a godly mother. That's a godly church. A church full of faith draws near. Does everybody understand that? We understand that, right? I can go on. Somebody say go on. Okay, number two. Number two, what do we got? Praise. Yes, yes, praise. So if you look at verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, came to him the Greek word pros amahi. It means pros, toward. Ka'amahi, to approach. Then you get in the same verse on down, children with sons worshiping. Then you see the word pros kaneo. We've been seeing this often lately. Pros means to go toward, to draw near. And then kaneo means to kiss. Not only did she draw near and press in, she knew what to do when she got there. She praised him. Let's look at this. Then came the mother with her children and worshiped him. And this is so important. She didn't run in there and start demanding Jesus to set James on the right and John on the left. That is not what she did. Everybody, you think about the audacity of this mother to ask such a thing. You cannot miss this part right here. The first thing she did is she fell down at his feet and kissed his feet. Kaneo means to kiss. Pros means to kneel down before. And kaneo means to kiss his feet. The first thing she does as she engages into the presence of the Christos is to begin to worship and praise him intimately. It was not a form of religion. It was not an expression of some type of formal praise. It was intimate from her heart, and it was expressed. She got down in an humble position, and she began to flow in intimacy before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is the first thing she, before she ever asked for a thing, she had her worship session with the Lord. You understand this? A godly mama, a spirit-filled mama, a woman of faith, she's going to worship Jesus. And I love that she brings these two grown boys, and they go to Jesus, and right there in front of every disciple, she begins to worship the Lord. And she didn't care what any of them thought. She was going to worship Jesus because he was worthy. And she knew this right here. Her worship certainly was between her and the Lord, but she also knew that her worship would impact those boys. A mama of faith, her children will behold her worshiping her God. If she has real faith, her children will see her get intimate with Jesus. She might have had some audacity to ask such a thing. But you see this right here. The first thing she did is she worshiped and she praised him. Do you see this in the text? The first thing I want us to understand, the first thing we ought to do when we come in this place is get down before him, press in and draw near and get intimate with him. It ain't about your expression. It ain't about a form of praise. It's about from your heart you get real and you get intimate with your God. The first thing, she understood how it worked. She had a relationship in the working because the first thing she did was worship him. She pursued. She had faith, and because she had faith, she pursued him. Because she had faith, she praised him. And if you got faith, you'll pursue him. And if you got faith, you'll praise him. And if pursuing him and praising him is such a problem, then pursuit and praise ain't the problem. It's a lack of faith. Because faith will take you there, and it produces an intimate worship. Is there anybody in this room that's ever watched your mama worship the Lord? One of the best ways to teach the reality of God to our children is not to just tell them, but let them see the intimate flow of worship between you and him as you tell them. You understand that? You can tell them what's right and wrong, what's true and what's false. But if they don't see a working faith, that working faith between you and him will solidify reality, and it will edge into the hearts of those children that God is exactly who he says it is. It's displayed through those that I behold around me that worships him and pursues him. Are you with me? I would say this to a young mama. Let your children watch you worship the Lord. Let them. I would say this to the mamas who did it. Thank you. Thank you for letting me behold the intimacy between you and God when I was little, because it did something to me that I've never forgotten. And church, bride, I would tell you today, if we're going to be the wife of Christ and we're going to bring a generation along, we've got to show them worship. Oh, and quit sitting back and watching them worship and be proud of them for worshiping. We're the ones that need to be before. They need to watch us worship. I've said that a lot lately. And it seems like I've seen it here at church, and I've seen it at the thing the other day. It seems too many times like the parents are content in just being proud of their children for worshiping. proud of them because they worship. Well, we ought to be proud of them. But what I think we should do, we should be worshiping before they ever do. We should be the forerunner in this thing. We should lead before them. We should show them the intimacy. After all, we've been walking with God longer. After all, we're filled with a greater testimony because we've been living with Him. We've been delivered by Him more. We've known Him longer. Ought we not to be in the forefronts of worship? She had faith. She worshiped. She worshiped. She got down and kissed His feet intimately. She worshiped. Number three. What's number three? Purpose? It's number four on mine, but I've rearranged this by the time I give it to Brandy. Purpose. I love this. She does go to the Lord. And she does say, I got two boys, and she does say, this is my desire, that one of them will sit on one side, and the other will sit on the other side in your kingdom. And you can come up with everything wrong about that, but let's talk about what's right about that. This is what she wanted. She wanted her sons to be citizens in His kingdom. And she wanted them to be under His authority and to operate in His authority. And she wanted them to be near the Lord Jesus Christ. What else should a mother want for her children than for her children to be citizens of the kingdom of God, to be submitted to His authority, then operate in the same authority and live in a nearness unto their Lord? What else should a mama want? I'm glad that they were grown and she was still pushing and she was still pulling and she was still showing them her desire and her dreams and her goals and the vision that was cast in her soul for those two little boys, that one day that they would live in the kingdom, be under the authority, operate in the power of the authority, and be near Him. If all you can do as a mama or a daddy is raise up some children to make it to the kingdom, to operate in the authority, under the authority, and be near God, then you've did everything. Everything He's laid before you. What greater purpose for a mama or a daddy than to intercede spiritually for your children like that? I'm glad that even though they were grown, she was still trying to get them in the right place next to the right person, which is God. She wasn't trying to send them to some type of rabbinical school. She didn't spend all her time that they might be some type of pro athlete. She didn't try to get their politics right. You know what she was worried about? I want them to be in the kingdom. I want them to be part of the kingdom, not against it. And surely if they sit at His throne where He operates in authority, surely they'll be under it, but they'll also get to operate in it. And they will be near the one that I just worshiped, the one that matters most. This is what Mama was thinking. I don't think she was exclusively longing for the greatness of her sons. I think she wanted her sons to be near the greatness of her God. And if they could be so close to the great one, then His greatness would begin to flow through them as well. She knew if they were going to be great, they had to be positioned in the kingdom next to the great one. That was her purpose. That was her purpose. I want to remind you, Sister Betty, you fought for a son long after he was in his teens, that he might sit in the kingdom under the authority of God and be near God. And it come to pass, did it not, sister? That's what mamas do. That's what a mama of faith does. She didn't care what all them disciples thought. She walked up in there after she got done worshiping, after she got intimate with Jesus. Then she said this, look, I'm just a mama, and I got these two boys, and I've had them, and this is what I want, that they would be in your kingdom that you've been talking about so much, and that they would sit next to you. They would know your authority, operate under your authority, and they would be near you. I got three kids. Riley, son, look, I may not do a whole lot right. I mean, there's a lot of things that I got to learn about being, I could be better in a lot of ways, but I'll tell you this, this is what I want for you and those girls. And you hear me? In spite of me, in spite of your mom, in spite of everything in this world, I want you to be in his kingdom. I want you to know his authority, and I want you to be near your God. Same for those girls. Same for every child comes up. Look, you can get a better pastor, I promise. But this is my purpose, this is my heart, is that we would be in his kingdom, under his authority, so that we could operate in the same authority and just be near him. Mamas and daddies, we're going to keep on wanting this, and we're going to keep on pursuing, and we're going to keep on praising, and we're going to keep on walking in that purpose till we see it fulfilled in our sons and in our daughters. Somebody say amen. I think she was a woman of faith. I just getting started. Prayer. It don't say the word prayer, but it does say she asked. She went to him and she asked. Ain't that a whole lot what like petitioning the Lord is? I know prayer is more than just asking. It's part of the kneeling down and worshiping and kissing his feet too. It's the worship. It's the prayer. It's part of the pursuit that gets you there. It's the worship that precedes. It's the intimacy involved in his presence. And it is petitioning. It is asking. It's okay to ask God. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Look, I get it. Jesus says you don't know what you're asking. I want you to understand she's the only one that ever asked God for something and didn't understand what she was asking. Everybody in this room has asked God for something and you weren't fully aware and you didn't fully comprehend and understand everything about what you was asking. And you'll do it again. Yeah, she might not have understood everything, but she was asking. She was asking. She was interceding for her boys. She was interceding and praying on their. They could have asked all by themselves, but she asked for them because she was an intercessor. She could have sent a letter, probably. She could have sent a messenger. She could have trained her boys what to ask, but that wasn't good enough for this mama. Her faith wouldn't let her stop right there. She had to go boldly herself. She had to go boldly before the throne, and maybe he wasn't on a throne at this time, but he was talking about thrones. She understood that he's the one that sits on a throne, so it might be safe to say that she boldly approached the throne, or at least the one who reigns on the throne, and she boldly asked him for something. She might not have understood it all, but she asked him boldly, and that is precisely what the Bible tells you to do. It says the veil has been rent in two, and you got an open way to go, and you don't got to go scared, and you don't got to be timid. You ain't got to be in fear that he's going to shun you away. You can go because Jesus is your forerunner, and you can ask him boldly. Now, she didn't get exactly what she asked for. But let me say, she's not reproved. Read it closely. She didn't get rebuked for asking. He just says, he actually directs it to the boys. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. And he says, are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Are you able to have the baptism that I'm going to have? He don't rebuke her. He don't say, don't ask me stuff like that again. Matter of fact, his attention is about to be turned to the disciples that's going to dispute over this, not her at all. She didn't upset him. She didn't bother him. What bothers him most is the attitude that's in his disciples. She interceded. She prayed. Look, mamas, ask boldly. Godly mamas, mamas of faith, you ask boldly. Has anybody ever had a mama that knew what it meant to go to the throne and ask boldly? That go ask boldly. And if we're going to be the bride of Christ and bring a generation with us, we've got to go before the throne and we've got to ask boldly. And I want to go further with this. And when we don't get the answer we want, we got to keep going. We got to be just as faithful. Hold that spot. I'm going to get back to there in a minute. Let me give you this. Let me give you this. No. Let me go ahead and piggyback off that. I want you to see her persistence. I'm throwing this outline all out of kilter here. Let's go to persistence, then I'll do promise and peace. Jesus didn't give her the answer she probably hoped for, right? He didn't say no. We can read deep into the dialogue here, and it is layered deep. But he didn't say no. He just said, you don't know what you're asking for. And then he asked the disciples some questions. Here's what I want you to see about her. I know she's a woman of faith. She asked in prayer. It didn't get the exact response she desired. She didn't fully understand. She didn't. And yet, that had no bearing on her faithfulness to Jesus. What are you talking about? Mark 15:40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the less. Y'all see this? There she is. How many people's at the cross? The mother of James and John, Mary Magdalene. Go to the next verse. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, ministered to him, many other women which came up with him into Jerusalem, Mark 16:1. The Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James. Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Do you see her persistence? When every other disciple had fizzled out, and ran, and hid, denied, driven by fear. She's still one of the few that was there at Calvary. And she was one of the few that was early to go prepare his body. Jesus didn't answer her the exact answer she wanted. Not in Matthew 20. Now he does answer her. He actually grants her what she asked. But she couldn't understand all the answer at the time. And the answer in that moment probably didn't sound like exactly what she wanted. But that had no bearing on her faithfulness. She was with him. She was with him. Her faithfulness wasn't about God giving her everything she asked for. That's how I know it was faith. Anybody can be loyal if you give them everything they want. Anybody can be loyal as long as that person does everything you want and grants everything you ask. You want to find if somebody's loyal. Are they still there when they don't respond the way you want them to? When they don't answer you the way you need them to? Are they still there? I know she was a woman of faith because she was still there. Somebody say amen. Young ladies, be faithful. Good times and bad. When it's going your way, be faithful. When it ain't going your way, be faithful. When it's all peace, be faithful. When you're in a Sabbath rest, be faithful. When you are in the trenches in warfare, be faithful. When God is all over you that you can't handle it, be faithful. And when he seems so far away, you can't find him, be faithful. Because that's what faith does. Faith will keep you faithful. She was persistent. Faith brings forth persistence. If you want to know the difference between an irrational emotion and the appeal of God versus real faith in God, see how long it lasts. Real faith, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to last. You're going to see a relationship. You're going to see some loyalty. If you got real faith, there'll be real loyalty. She was persistent. She was persistent. Watch my mama be persistent. Not perfect. I didn't say perfect, did I? I said persistent. When it was good and when it was bad. Looking back, I know she asked God to do things. And he didn't do it right then. In my life, things that y'all don't know that I would know, I know she has asked God to do things. And I know he didn't do it right then. The next Sunday, we got up and we were there. And on Tuesday night, even when I was older than what I should be, she'd still come in my room and lay down in a bed by me. She'd tell me, you know, I'm getting old enough now. And I'd, okay. A few days later, I'd mama her to death while she's trying to go to sleep. She'd get up and come in there and talk to me. We'd talk about the Lord a lot of times. She is still persistent. Even when God didn't give it to her exactly when, the exact time, the exact way she wanted it, she's still persistent. And that's powerful. That's powerful. I don't think God minds when we ask questions that we don't fully understand. As long as whatever he does, however he responds, we're going to stick with him anyway. You understand? Be bold. Ask. And if you ask something that's ignorant, that's okay. Just be faithful because he's going to be faithful. And understanding will come in time. Number six, the promise. I love this about her. She really believed that when God said something, it was true and it was counted as a promise, and she held on to it. And a mom of faith will take God at his word, and she'll just think that if God says it, it's got to be a promise, and it cannot be untrue if God said it. Say, what are you talking about? People think that she asked such a carnal, silly question. No, she didn't. Let me show you. Matthew 19, just the chapter before. Matthew 19, 28. Matthew 19, 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. She didn't ask a foolish question.
She wasn't being greedy. She wasn't being selfish. She heard Jesus say that one of these days, those that follow him in regeneration, they will sit on thrones with him, near him, and they will rule over the 12 tribes. She heard it, and all she did was believe exactly what he said, and she's the one that comes in there and says, well, can my two sit on this throne and that throne? She believed everything he said. People trying to discount this woman as if she's asking foolish, greedy, carnal questions. And I want to say to you, no, maybe she's the one out of all of them that had just enough faith to believe that those were real thrones and real seats near a real God one day. Amen. That's good, ain't it? Yeah. You ain't got to be the smartest woman, and you ain't got to be the strongest woman, and you ain't got to be the wealthiest woman or the most resourceful woman or the most liked woman. But if you can just be a woman that when God speaks, you believe it, that'll take you further than all that other stuff together. She just believed it. What if the bride of Christ, what if Jesus' wife, what if we would just believe whatever he says? What if we would just believe, even if it caused us to ask things we don't, look, I don't got to understand it to believe it. She might not have understood it all, but boy, she believed it. Her mind, when she heard that one of these days those who follow him will sit on thrones with him and rule with him, I can imagine the vision cast deep down in her soul, and she could see her baby boy and her other boy. She could see them following him in the regeneration, sitting next to him. And that's what her heart, it wasn't her. She wasn't asking to sit next to him. She was asking for her babies too. She's a mama. But she's a mama that believed in the promises of God. Can I go a step further? Let's look at this. Look at verse 26 to chapter 20. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. This is good. Y'all ready? Let him be your minister. This is the conversation. Jesus, let my boy sit on the throne next to you. He said, well, you don't understand what you're asking. Then he asks them, he said, are you able to drink the cup? And are you able to be baptized? And they say, we are. Then he talks about the Father. We'll talk about his response in a minute. But one thing he says is this, verse 26, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Greek word diakoneo is where we get our word deacon, okay? Diakoneo, it means servant, right? Are you with me? These thrones sitting next to me, my kingdom, you got to understand something about serving. Serving, we talked about it some last week, right? Jesus tells them, she's there. Now, we go back to Matthew 27. Later on, watch this. Don't miss this. Verse 55 and 56. Watch this closely. Many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, diakoneo, unto him, ministering unto him, serving him. He says at an earlier time, if you want to understand the kingdom, serve one another, minister to one another. And then we don't hear from her again until now. And the next time we see her, it is said of her that she had been following Jesus around, ministering and serving him. She believed him when he said it. Do you see that? Jesus teaches. He says it. The next time we see her, she's doing exactly what he said. I believe she's a woman of faith. Faithful. Because what faith will do, if you got faith, you'll take him at his word. And God's word will be your promise. God's word will be your promise if you got faith in you. That's a woman of God. That's a godly mama. That's a godly bride. We take him at his word. And last of all, I see she's a woman of peace, a mama. And let me just say this. We know how it is in Hebrew. We know that when she's introduced, it's Salome, which comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace or complete. Hear me out. When you got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pursue him. You will praise him and be intimate with him. You'll walk in your purpose. You'll have a prayer life with him. His word will be your promises. And this faith will produce persistence. And when that is you, you will be identified as peace. Life will be peace. You will be complete. You will have peace. And when people see you, they're going to see a calm in the midst of the storm every time. They're going to see such a peace and tranquility between you and the heavenlies, between you and the sovereign God, between you and in the spirit, between you and the working of God in the earth. There's going to be peace between heaven touching earth as it correlates with where you are and who you are. When you got faith and it's producing all those things, you will have peace in this life. Do you see that? I'm defending her. I believe she's a mama of faith. I didn't write down perfect on none of them. She didn't understand everything. But she had faith. I believe that with all my heart. Young ladies, I challenge you. Let's observe from the word and let's walk in faith. Mothers that did it, I thank you. You've impacted me. In church, everybody under the sound of my voice, as we are the wife of Christ, let's be a bride of faith that looks like this right here. Now, let me give you his answer and I'll be done. Okay? Because I want to make sense of the answer he gives. Okay? I want to deal with the text. Four things, real quick. Real quick. I think I got my second outline. Let's understand the answer, okay? So, when she asked, this is what he says. He says, you don't understand fully. She did not understand fully. She didn't. We wouldn't have either. We don't a lot of times either. But Jesus turns and says this. He says, are you willing to drink this cup? You willing to drink this cup and be baptized with my baptism? Now, what is he referring to? What is he referring to? This is what he's talking about. We know the cup is he's talking about what he's about to go through. He's about to die on a cross, right? He's about to take the wrath of God. I still believe in substitutionary atonement, okay? As long as I'm here, I'm preaching substitutionary atonement, okay? Propitiation for our sins. Jesus died our death. The Father poured out his wrath on his Son for us. I'm going to preach it till the day I die. The progressives trying to take it out of the gospel. I'm going to die for it, okay? And he looks at them. He says, you see the throne, you see the kingdom. What you don't understand, yes, I am about to ascend and sit on the throne. And yes, every power and principality will be subject under my feet. Everything that is will be under my dominion. And I will reign reign forevermore. I will sit on this throne. You are absolutely right. He says, but what you don't understand is I'm going to go through suffering to get there. I'm going to go to a cross. They're going to nail me to a tree. They're going to torture my body. I'm going to experience agony. I'm going to take on the wrath of a just and holy God for the sins of men. God's going to turn his back. My Father will forsake me. Do you understand the path I'm going down to sit on this throne? And he says, anybody that comes with me to sit next to me, there's a path for you too. He's been trying to tell the disciples over and over and over again that he's going to die and that if they're going to follow him, it ain't going to be easy sometimes. They hated him, they'll hate you also. All those who live godly will suffer persecution. The world's going to come against you, hell's going to come against you, and it ain't always going to be easy, but it's the path you go down. But I promise you, if you follow me, you will be victorious and you will sit and reign with me. He says, you don't understand. This don't come easy. This don't come easy. You want to sit with me and reign forever. There's going to be some suffering. You're going to have to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Be willing to lose your life. He says, can you do that? Now, Jesus asked them, can you do that? I always say this. If Jesus asks a question, he don't need the answer. Because he's the same one that's going to tell John and Peter their fate at the end of John. And this mama, one of her sons will be the first one to die, James, right? And John will hang around the longest. But they will both drink that cup and be baptized in that baptism. He don't need to know the answer. But what he is doing is he's causing them to soul check themselves, to self-examine. Can I just say this one more time, church? I think that we need to get real excited about the reign and the glory and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get real excited about your eternal destiny. You need to shout a little, get a little excited, because one day you will rule and reign in glory for eternity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know what else you need to do? We need to sit down with the Word and the Holy Ghost, and we need to self-examine. He says, don't know. He says, you count the cost. What man goes to war and don't count the cost? What man builds and don't count the cost? He's got to figure out what it's going to require, what it's going to take, and we need to be ready. We're entering into days where we're going down the way of God. If you're with Jesus, you'll go down the way of Jesus, and it's coming, church, and God is calling us to self-examine and see if we can drink the cup. Are you with me? He says, let's talk about this throne. The first thing you need to know about it, you got to be willing to suffer. You got to be willing. John, you know what I thought suffering was in high school? I thought suffering was I had to sit around and be bored while other people did sinful things that was fun. And I would do pretty good in my suffering for a few weeks until I couldn't take it no more and join the crew. I'm not talking about John. I thought that's what suffering was. And maybe as a babe in Christ, it was the beginning to what I was understanding of what didn't feel good sometimes. Of self-denial don't always feel good. Your flesh ain't going to let you get by with that easy. It's going to holler back. It's going to scream back. Your flesh is going to let you know it is not happy with you when you begin to deny it. It is going to let you know. Don't always feel good. In this life, we're going to have to say no. We're going to have to deny. We're going to have to suffer for some things. You understand? You're going to have to understand that a lot of your reward's going to be in heaven. You're going to be faced with a decision. Am I going to get my reward now, or do I want an eternal with me? And some people are marked with that decision. Look, we got to be willing to walk down the path Christ walked. Every one of these guys was going to be persecuted, okay? Jesus says, look, I'll take care of the thrones. I'll make sure you got a seat. I'll save you a seat. And I'll sustain you along the way. But are you willing to follow? I'll save you a seat, and I'll sustain your journey. But before you start, are you willing to follow? My God, the church needs to hear this right now. Man, I see a quitting church in America. I see, and I don't even like to use the word church after the word quitting, because I'm not so sure the real church is a quitter. But I see one. Maybe we've listened to sermons that tickle our ears and itch our scratches and makes us feel good so long, and we've not been confronted in a long time with, are you willing to drink the cup? I think God needs to sit down before us all and ask, are you willing to drink the cup? I know you're willing for me to bless your health. I know you're willing for me to give you money and to feed you, but are you willing to drink the cup? That's what's got to be asked. So in relation to these seats and this throne, willing to suffer. The second thing he says, look, the Father gives this out. The Father gives this out. What is he saying in that statement? Look, you're asking, and just let me let y'all know, disciples, that this is what the Father's doing. It's what he wants. What does this do? What does this do? What does this take you back to in Jesus' prayer life? It reminds you that I pursue the Father's will, not my own. That's what, when he says, look, this is the Father's business, he hands it out, he deals it out, he does it, he gives, he takes away, he positions, he places. In other words, it ain't about your ambition, it's about you seeking God's will. Ambition don't get you to heaven. Ambition don't get you near God. Seeking the will of the Father is what's going to get you there. If you want to sit next to him, you ain't got enough ambition in you to get you next to him. But if you'll seek the will of the Father, you can find yourself right next to him. Does that make sense? Seek his will. Seek his will, you'll find your throne. Seek his will, you'll find your throne. Number three, it's a work of the Son. It's a work of the Son. What I mean by that? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is also saying it ain't just about the will of the Father. It's got to be more than you're willing to suffer. He says you can't go there if I don't come and do the redemptive work I've been sent to do. I'm about to give my life a ransom for you. And me giving my life a ransom for you, that's how you're going to get there. I'm paving the way for you. I'm purchasing you. I own the seats, but if I don't own you, you don't get to sit in the seat that I own either. So I'm going to own the seat, but I got to purchase you too. And if I can own you, you can sit with me. It's a work of Jesus. You got to be willing to drink the cup. You got to pursue the will of God, not your own. And you've got to trust in the redemptive work of our majestic and glorious and beautiful Lord and Savior, the risen one, Jesus Christ. Ambition don't get you there. The work of Christ, seeking the will of the Father, and being willing to drink the cup. Does that make sense? Now, the way of salvation. Let me end with this, okay? This is good. He says, this is what he said. Let's walk through it. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. Now. He's saying, I want you to look at how the Gentiles do government. Look at how they do government. Look at how a man sits on a throne and he lords over every man, and they respond to his every beck and call, and everything he says to do, they immediately jump on it. Look at how Gentiles lord over them. They express their dominance and dominion. And he says, some of y'all guys are wanting that type of power. Y'all want the power that comes with the throne. And he says, because you see greatness as power on a throne. That's what he's telling the disciples. You see greatness as power on a throne. He says, greatness is a servant. Greatness is a God who sits on a throne in power and leaves that throne and comes to serve. Philippians 2. That's greatness. All you see is the man who sits in power on the throne. Can I show you what's greater than that? That one that sits on the throne, leaves that dominion, leaves it there, puts on the form of a slave and a servant, and comes to this earth, and he gives his life a ransom. He serves people to the point of dying their death, carrying, taking on their death sentence, he serves them to the point of taking their punishment. That's greatness. That's greatness. And he says, and that's what I'm here for. And that's what I'm doing for you. And that's what I expect you to do for each other if you want to sit on this throne. He says, you got to find greatness in my servitude towards you. And then that's got to carry over into you serving each other. Can I go one step deeper? The word ransom means to buy a slave, to buy a servant, lutron, to purchase a servant. What does that mean? Salvation is this. Do you understand what he's trying to do? He's trying to change their mindset because they want power on the throne. That's what they call greatness. Jesus is saying greatness is such a great God like myself to come from his throne and serve you, and you serve each other. He's trying to change how they think. He's trying to change what their ambition is. Your ambition should not be to reach that throne. Your ambition should be to receive what I have served you and then serve one another. That should be your ambition. But I'm thankful that Jesus understands that it just ain't that easy. It just ain't that easy. Because what we would later know that they did not understand at the time is that when you are born in this fallen nature, you are a servant of sin. Sin is your master. Your flesh is your... Romans makes it clear that we are servants to the law, that we serve our sin nature, that we serve our flesh. We are slaves to our sin and our flesh. So Jesus, in all his glory and all his authority, he removes that position and takes on the form of a servant, and he serves us in such a way that he purchases us from our evil master, and in his service he sets us free to serve him and one another. I don't got to serve my sin no more. I don't got to work in a spirit of disobedience no more. I don't have to serve my carnal ambitions. I can now, because Jesus served me, I can serve him and I can serve you. And that is greatness. That's his answer. I know you can't serve me and serve one another because you are a slave to an evil master. But because I come to serve you, I'm going to ransom you, Lutron. I'm going to purchase you from your evil master so that you can be with me, serve with me, serve one another. Do you see his answers? If you want to sit on this throne, you got to be willing to drink the cup. You got to pursue the will of the Father. You've got to trust in the work of the Son. And you've got to experience the way of salvation. When Jesus comes to die for me and purchase me, he sets me free. And in the liberation that takes place, brings upon transformation that causes me to change what I view as great and what I view as not great. It changes what my ambition is. My ambition is no longer to ascend thrones that I can sit on. Now my ambition is to serve as the bride and be with my Lord. That's the way of salvation. It brings forth transformation and liberation to serve who God has ordained you to serve. He's not asking you to serve. You got to keep in mind first that he served you before he ever freed you to serve him and to serve one another. I love it. He didn't ask you to do nothing he never did. I used to work with a guy. First thing I did when I hired in, he went and bought me a rain suit and boots. And we worked over here in the strip mines, and what we'd do, he said, here's the deal. When they drill and we're blasting for coal, rain or shine. If it's lightning bad enough, we'll get in a truck. A lot of times it'd be pouring rain, and I'd have that hose in that hole, and the emulsion would be coming out, and you know, it would separate the water from that so it didn't hurt the explosives. We had to work in the rain. We had to work in the rain. And a lot of times I'd be out there pouring down and I'd be filling that hole with emulsion. And the owner of the business would get out of his car, truck, not the foreman, not the supervisor, but the owner. He'd walk down there and stand by me. He'd get a shovel, and when I'd get it full, he'd help me, and I'd be like, Mr. Johnson, what are you doing? He said, well, I feel like if I'm going to ask you to come out here and do it, I ought to get out here with you. But, oh, Mr. Johnson, there's a difference in me and you. You're the boss. You're not getting paid to do this. You're paying me to do this. You've got all these other guys doing it, and you don't got to do this. He's like, yeah, I do. If you're going to be out here doing it, I want to show you that I do it too. I'm not going to ask you to do nothing I wouldn't do myself. And man, I'll tell you something. That guy, he asked me to do anything, I'd go do it. Because that's the way he, look, Jesus asking you to serve one another and to serve him. He ain't asking you to do nothing that he didn't do already for you. Not only that, he purchased you by his power, liberated you, freed you from a bad master to serve a good one. And how we got to Mother's Day all the way to here, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just dealing with the text. It's the Word of God, amen? It's the Word, and if it's the Word, it's good. We keep going too, probably. We could keep going. I want to ask you to stand. I'm thankful that his word don't return void. I'm thankful that it don't return void. I remember preaching when I was young one time, and the guy was right. You can get a song ready. I was young. I wouldn't even want to listen to what it might have sounded like. I don't. The guy set me down, and he understood something about me, so he tried to speak a language I could understand. He said, "You did pretty good today." He said, but your sermon was like birdshot. Let's go. Okay. He said, like when you shoot a deer, which gun do you take? You don't take the 12-gauge with birdshot. You get the rifle with a scope, and you aim at a certain part, and you shoot from there. And he said, and that's effective. If you take the birdshot and shoot the deer, it's not effective. He said, your preaching needs to be more like a rifle and less like birdshot. He was right, but I'm glad that even when I'm shooting birdshot, His word don't return void. It'll land where it needs to land. Play a song, please. I don't know what to tell you right now, other than I believe God has set before us a challenge. What's been challenged in me may be different than what's challenged in you, but I believe God has challenged us today. I believe so. I believe that. I believe He's raised the standard again. Sometimes He raises it and we try to lower it, and we got to hear His voice and it raises it again. And then we bring it down and then He raises it again. And I feel like today He's raised it again. So young ladies, be a woman of faith. Be a mama of faith. Mothers in this room, spiritual mothers and biological mothers that serve the Lord, all of you here today that have walked in faith when it wasn't easy, I thank you. I thank you. And on behalf of your sons and daughters, I thank you. We appreciate that. In church, we are the bride of Christ. We're His wife. We are. There's a generation that needs us. There are sons and daughters all out here. They need us. They need us. You know, I shared last week that after the last visit at Planned Parenthood, we got the message that the one in Birmingham shut down. The abortion clinic shut down after the... And I think four in Georgia. And then we've saw what's happening in our government. Okay. God has heard. Somebody say amen. God has heard. And you know, what makes a mother is when a seed hits an egg and there's conception, right? And I just want to say this, church. Look, God is conceiving things in us. Okay? He's conceiving things in us. And we need to steward that with faith. We need to cherish that, care for that. And the only way we're going to handle what He's conceiving in us is we've got to operate and walk in faith. And if you want to know where your faith is, look at your prayer life, look at your pursuit, look at your praise, look at how you view His word as the promises, look at your perseverance, your persistence, look at these things. And if we find ourselves lacking, I promise you today, if you will not leave this place with a lacking faith, if you want the Lord to strengthen it. Okay? God is all invested in your faith. I promise you, He is invested into your faith. I could walk you through scriptures to make the point that God has invested into your faith. We have no excuse not to walk in faith. And listen, let's get excited about our destiny, our throne. Are we willing to drink the cup? Trust in the work of the Son. Seek the will of the Father. The way of salvation transformed. Are we serving one another? Let's bury it. Let's bury it. Right now, Father, move. God, before we leave, God, we don't want to rush out of here. Lord, not at all do we want to rush out of this place. Lord, You're God. You're our God. Lord, You've met us in this place. God, You've been good to us again and again and again. And today, Lord, You've been good again. Lord, You've been here with us. You've spoke to us, God. You've answered prayers. You're growing us. You're forming us. You're shaping us, God. Lord, I pray that You would do what You've came to do right now, Father. I pray, Lord, that You would do what You've came to do in the hearts and minds of everybody that's here. Speak, God, today. Speak, Lord. Move, God. Transform, deliver, edify, heal. God, do these things today. Empty us, God, that You might fill us up, Father. God, speak today. Move, Lord. We receive you. We ask for you. We need you. We want you, Spirit of the living God. Do in the hearts and souls of everybody here what you've came to do, Lord. And I pray, God, that you give us ears to hear and hearts that are soft, and we would not quench the Holy Spirit. We would receive what you've come to do. We thank you, Lord. Just for a few minutes, we got something special right here in a second. But just for another minute, you just let the Lord minister to you, and you minister to him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're saving the best for last, all right? Has the Lord been good to you today? Are you ready to rejoice? God is so good. Come here, buddy. Come here. Let me help you up here. I'm going to let you stand up here with me. I think he's got something he wants to tell y'all.
I ask Jesus into my heart.